Let's pray. Father, we come before you to thank you for another opportunity to look into your word, Lord, as you speak to us through the scriptures. Father, I pray that you would bless this time, and God, that you would be glorified in and through what you're going to teach us this morning. We just love you, and we commit it into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is in reference to Patrick's chapter 30. It's in Nehemiah chapter 6, and I titled it, How to Overcome Insecurity. There's a Chinese proverb that says, a gem is not polished without rubbing, nor a man made perfect without trials. Just when the work seemed to be finished, Nehemiah's enemies came against him in three parts. The first part was in opposition by intrigue, and we'll see that in a moment. The second part was opposition by innuendo. The third part, opposition by intimidation. Each one of these were subtle. On the surface, it appeared to be something other than what it was. Part of the challenge was to see what was really going on. What was really happening here? Each attack was aimed at Nehemiah personally, where before in the book of Nehemiah, it hadn't been done. When Sambalay and those with him saw they were outsmarted by Nehemiah, they decided to attack him personally. Well, at first, this kind of opposition doesn't seem wise and probably useless. Attacking the main man is to attack the stronger rather than the weaker. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. It's why opposition usually doesn't start at this point, but with easier things like ridicule and threats. Later, it becomes different because we get tired. We get weary. And the stress of leading a big project takes its toll. We know that as CEOs. What I want to point out is these attacks weren't effective with Nehemiah. He held his ground, and because he did, it shows the kind of man he really was. Nehemiah wasn't insecure. He had a faith and a trust in God that put him over the top. It put him over the top. The first part was opposition by intrigue. Let's look at this. The reason this was subtle and dangerous was on the surface, it sounded like a good and right thing to do. I mean, if he was asked for a conference earlier, I mean, a get-together with Sambalay and his buddies, Nehemiah would have been suspicious because it would have been to get him to stop the work. But now, the wall was completed, only the gates remained to be hung. Nehemiah is rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. Since Nehemiah was already looking past the completion of the wall to other things, something like this must have seemed reasonable. Well, the problem was the job wasn't done. The walls were completed, but the gates had to be finished. And until they were, really the work was in jeopardy. Nehemiah knew this, but the guy was focused. He says in verse 3, I'm doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Well, I see two characteristics of not being insecure in Nehemiah's reply. First of all, you need to know how to say no. How to say no. Some people can't seem to do that, whether because of their own insecurity, an unbalanced desire to always please other people, or something else. They break down and give in, particularly if the request is repeated. Well, when you read Nehemiah, the book, you can see that four times he said no. I've had to deal with this. Shouldn't I be able to available for others? Well, of course I should, but there's a difference between living as God's servant and living for man's approval. In what circumstances should I say no? When I'm faced with temptation, When I'm being asked to compromise the truth or morality? When a lesser good threatens to undermine a higher one? You ready for the answer? The answer is whenever necessary, and far more often than I do. The second quality seen in Nehemiah's reply to Sambalay and Geshem was his practical wisdom. I mean, we see it in how he receives a message and how he replies to it. He wasn't taken in, even though it sounded good. Nehemiah knew the governors were scheming to hurt him. Here's what's so amazing. Even though he knew their intent, Nehemiah didn't antagonize him. He didn't denounce him for what they were trying to do. He said he was too busy to go down to the plain of Ono. That he was too busy. He had work to do. God had him on a mission, man. There was things that had to be finished. The second part of this was opposition by innuendo. What do I mean by that? Well, when rumors spread, the subject of these rumors is the one who gets hurt. Even if the rumor is later proven false, the victim of gossip always inevitably suffers. Always. The letter was a threat to hurt Nehemiah because Sambalay wasn't offering to help. In fact, he was threatening to report Nehemiah to Artaxerxes, the king, if he refused to cooperate. Here's what made it worse. The report was already known to others, and now Sambalay was threatening to endorse it officially. So what should he do in circumstances like this? I mean, if he ever needed inner strength, it's in a time like this. That inner strength we know comes from God. It comes from the Lord. The first thing, his heart had to be pure. You see, inner strength is how you act decisively. It's how you act decisively. Nehemiah prayed because even though he denied Sambalay's false rumor, he didn't know whether his denial would be believed or whether he would survive the assault. If Sambalay had already talked to Artaxerxes, the king, Artaxerxes might have believed Sambalay, and Nehemiah could be recalled and then actually beheaded. He could have been killed. Nehemiah turned to his only true source of strength. You ready for this? His relationship with God. And if it came from God in Nehemiah's case, it will come from God for you and me as well. A person whose life is solid on their foundational relationship with the Lord will be able to stand against any and all hostile attacks because our security is in our God. It's in our God. The third part was opposition by intimidation. First, it was made to look and presented to Nehemiah as a revelation from God. Secondly, it was a temptation for Nehemiah to do two things wrong. Two things wrong. First, to put his own safety ahead of the work. And second, to break God's law in order to save his life. I mean, that's a heavy one. If it's going to cost you your life, are you going to break God's law to do it, to try to save your life? I mean, who's in control here, you or God? Nehemiah wasn't insecure because his security came from God. So when Shemaiah suggested he and Nehemiah flee to the temple to save themselves, the term he used means the holy place. And not just the temple itself. I mean, this was a pagan belief and not a Jewish one, that a person could be spared punishment for a crime by fleeing to one of the heathen temples and living there, even if they were guilty of something serious. Shemaiah was suggesting something contrary to biblical scriptural teaching. Now, Granted, Nehemiah wasn't a priest, so he wasn't allowed into the inner portions of the temple. We see that in Numbers 18, verse 7. But here's the deal. If Nehemiah had given in, he would have compromised himself and might have lost his life. But here's what Nehemiah realized. First, if he agreed to do what Shemaiah suggested, it would have been sin on his part. And secondly, God didn't send Shemaiah. God would never tempt you to compromise God's word. He would never do that. You see, Nehemiah had the wisdom. Nehemiah knew his God. He knew this because he knew the Old Testament forbid anyone other than a priest to enter the holiest of holies. He knew that. Nehemiah knew God's word. It caused him to realize God didn't send Shemaiah. That's why you and me need to daily be in God's word. We have to be in God's word. This is what I love about Nehemiah. What's more important than the secret of success in business is the secret of Nehemiah's success as a man of God. First of all, Nehemiah's closeness to God and consistency in his prayer life. I mean, we see him being so close to God, he's praying on every occasion. He's praying on and for everything. Secondly, Nehemiah's sense of calling to a work. Nehemiah had a strong sense of his one great objective, to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. But you know what? It went beyond that. He knew himself to be God's man and to have a call to God's service. He knew that. Thirdly, Nehemiah's self-awareness and knowledge of his own worth. Now, this wasn't a vain self-assessment. The gifts Nehemiah had were from God, and he would have had them otherwise. He wouldn't have had them otherwise. Nehemiah knew he had these gifts. He wasn't the least bit overawed by the job he was given or intimidated by his adversaries. You see, we need to have an equally strong sense of personal value. We should know we're equipped by God for whatever work God has given for us to do. If you don't know that, you will be insecure. And insecurity will be the death and the ruin of you. Fourth, Nehemiah's incredible discernment. He was able to detect in the enemy exactly what was going on. Again, he's in the Word. He's in God's Word. He knows these things. God has given him tremendous discernment. If you want discernment, you've got to be reading the Word. You need to be in a church that's teaching you the Word of God. Some of his discernment may have been a natural gift, but a large part of it came from his spiritual experience and understanding of the Scriptures. Very important. Nehemiah knew what was in man, and therefore, he wasn't thrown by the subtle devices of his enemies. He was able to focus on the real issues and priorities. That's incredible discernment. Fifthly, Nehemiah's courage. So, who is not insecure at times? Who is not disturbed with what's going on or frustrated? Who is not hurt? You know what? We all are. But we yield those insecurities to our God and we press on with the work God's given us to do. The problem with so many is they will acknowledge God and even pray to Him regularly on their way up that long ladder of success. But once they reach the top, they seem to forget their Christianity and they regard success as their own achievement. Man, I've seen it for years, for decades. Nehemiah remembered God, and God used him beyond the accomplishment of what he initially wanted to do. John Paul, I love what he said, and I'll close with this. He said, I doubt there has ever been one recorded case of deep and lasting fulfillment reported by a person whose basic mindset and only question was, what am I getting out of this? What am I getting out of this? You know what? I'm getting a God that loves me, that is using me for His glory and His kingdom, and that has prepared an eternity for me. It's like Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. It's an endurance haul, man. It's a long haul. We don't just throw in the towel and give up and that's it. We are secure in our God, our Father in heaven. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us, Father. Lord, I pray your blessing on this to everyone who reads it, to everyone who listens to it. And God, we just give you the glory, God. Help us to continue to be secure in you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.